you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from Matthew 25, 44 through 46. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did they not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Matthew 25, 44 through 46.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, March 17th, 2026. Testimony Tuesday, my favorite day of the week. Y'all know it because I get to share someone's life story, some of their testimony, some of their passion for the scriptures, and how they see God at work in their lives. In fact, the special individual that I'm going to highlight today is Pastor Mike Smith. I've had him on, I don't know, a year or so ago when he spoke at a BMIC gathering. Well, he did it again this past Saturday. He spoke a roaring message, a great message. I don't know. There was like about 8 or 10 different topics. I didn't have my pen with me, and I was like regretting, oh gosh, I want to have him interviewed, and I want to remember all the different good tangents that he was on. But he spoke the scriptures into all of our hearts and minds, and he began by talking about Easter's coming up, and he made a distinction about the differences between Peter and Judas, and then he touched on, you know, being godly men. Then he also touched on the importance of the church and how sometimes, because being kind of churchy, we get judgmental, and so then those that are unchurched or don't know the language of the church or have sinned or fallen short don't feel welcomed. And he really exhorted us to be reaching out with the love of Christ and demonstrating that. He talked about the importance of words, and they have meaning, and sometimes we blur those meanings, like, oh, I love pizza, oh, I love my wife, oh, I love God's word. But really, you know, that love can sometimes get neutered or not be as effective because it has a greater meaning. I mean, obviously, a man that loves his wife is more than just how he loves his pizza or whatever it is. Anyways, and he covered a bunch of other topics, but Pastor Mike Smith serves two different churches, the Berean Church, and that's like around the Nyadic area, I guess, outside of Decatur, 9 o'clock at the Berean Church, 10:30 at the Remnant Church, and I guess that's out of Blue Mound. And some of his story and testimony, if you go to our archive programs page at greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, you can kind of hear some of his story and message. He's married to the beloved Lisa, and she ran for, was it Congress?
State rep,
lovely follower of Jesus. And it was more of a testimony time. It wasn't about her politics or policies per se, but they both oversee their 10 lovely children and how God has put in their hearts, reaching those that have been discarded. I think you said on Saturday, two of them are serving in the military because you prayed for the military.
Right. I have one son that graduated from West Point. And he actually was one of our foster kids that was a throwaway kid. We were a last ditch, I guess, hope for kids right before they went to treatment homes. And we know how well that works. I won't go any farther than that. Anyway, Devontae is his name, and Devontae graduated from high school there in Taylorville and then entered West Point and then graduated from West Point, and he's serving out in Oklahoma. Then my other son is stationed down at Fort Hood in Texas. Both of them are in the Army. And then I have one son that served in the Marine Corps in the reserves, my oldest son. So we had three boys that were part of that.
Well, you were preaching it this past Saturday, and even as we were doing a little show prep this last 15 or 20 minutes, we got on about 15 different topics. We love God's word. We love to train people, to raise them up, to disciple. We've talked about Timothy's and Paul's, people that pour into our lives, but the passion we have for God's word, to study it, to read it, to memorize it, to share it with others. And so Pastor Mike, it's been kind of exciting. I wanted to start our broadcast earlier because we had so many good topics. And the other voice that you heard was from Steve Edge. He opened up with one of Pastor Mike's favorite verses, at least favorite for this day. He said, gosh, I have thousands of favorite verses. And we just said, we got to land on something so we could come back and talk about it. And with Easter coming up, this could be an appropriate passage. But Steve Edge came to BMIC for the first time this past Saturday. And basically, I invited him because he's currently kind of retired. He does some handyman work and helps out at his church. And because he has some expertise with engines or electronics and different things, he helps a number of people. But he called the station, or I can't remember how it all worked out, but he said, I'm interested in volunteering. Well, the bells go off in my head and I get really excited. Anyone who's offering to volunteer becomes a best friend of mine. So we met this past week and I thought, I'm going to have him to the station today and we're going to talk about different projects that maybe he can manage or oversee or assist Dave or our team with. One of the things I loved about him when we talked a week or so back, he said, oh, I just got done vacuuming my church. And it's like, oh gosh, I love humble servants that'll do things like that. I mean, many of us, you know, we want maybe a high profile job or, hey, I got expertise in this area. I'm an electronics guy, so I should do electrical things. But the fact that he was vacuuming in his church taught me that, wow, because we need people to help clean our facility here in Springfield and other things. So we're testing the waters to see if Steve wants to assist in a variety of ways. So appreciate him opening up with our scripture reading of Matthew 25, 44 through 46. So Pastor Mike, maybe as a way of introduction, what would you want to say to our listeners, those that maybe have walked with Christ for many years and love the scriptures, to that person today that's driving to work, that doesn't know they can have a relationship with God and thinks that this book that we call the Holy Scriptures, God-inspired word that we love and we value, but they say, oh, those are archaic stories that I get lost when I try to read through it, doesn't make sense to me. So why do you think scripture is so great? And what would you like to say about Matthew 25, 44 through 46?
Well, what I was talking about, or generally, was Judas and Peter and the two failures prior to Easter right there, right after. We know that what Judas did, and we know why he did it, in the sense that we understood that he did not understand who he was serving. For whenever he met Jesus in the garden, he didn't say, Lord, he said, friend. And he had made Jesus a friend. I don't know what his intentions were, but we do know how it ended, that he took his own life. Peter, on the other hand, was all, hey, you're not going to die because I'm not going to let it happen. Lord, you are Lord, so it can't happen. Well, of course, then Jesus tells him, you know, hey, no, you're going to deny me three times before the sun rises, before the rooster crows. And of course, that happens and Peter learns from it, but then he reinstates Peter. And the verses we read is from one of the final teachings before Jesus finished his ministry. And it's entitled The Goats and the Sheep. And basically, it's about the final judgment of the church, not about the world, but of the church. And it shows that some of the people that are in the church have missed what Jesus's main message was, and then that will fall short. And that is where I brought in the whole idea that there'll be a lot of people in church that miss heaven by 18 inches, distance from your brain to your heart. And that's because we can think love, as Mark was talking earlier, with the different types of way we use the word love. And then there's those that love with their heart. And we live in a world now where sin is just rampant and normalized. And I even spoke of that, the way we've chosen to change the English to where now we don't offend the offender, which is just insane. And we don't understand why the world does what it does. But when the devil's in charge, it ain't like he ain't had thousands and thousands of years to practice leading people away, because all he wants to do is get you away from God and have you make him your God. And that's what he's in charge of. So anyway, the scripture, we know that it's true, and we know that the truth in it will help us with our lives. It's just like a manual you get. How many of you don't read the instructions?
Especially man, you men.
Yeah. All you men. And we start putting it together, and then there's pieces left over and out of work. And then it falls apart. it's because we didn't read the instructions. Well, if you're looking for the guidelines to everything in your life, it's in Scripture. But you probably won't be able to find it unless you find another man or another woman or someone else to help you. And that's why we're supposed to, anytime two or three are together, I'm with you, Jesus says. So there is that encouragement to gather together and study the Word of God. And I would encourage everybody that's listening is to sit down or find a Bible study and go to it and learn more about it, because God has so much. He created you for a purpose. You are worth a lot. Mm-hmm. You don't realize it because the world tells you you're not. The world tells you you're this and you're that. And I even got into the names we call people and different things, and they become labeled, and then they don't believe that they're worth it. Well, you are worth it. And we get that from John 3:16. That's in your Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I have 8 sons. I wouldn't give one of them for a lot of anybody. But God so loved us that he sent his son from heaven to come down here, live as a man, to preach, and then die on a cross for the people that he was down there to save. Mm-hmm. That's what we celebrate at Easter, is him giving that ultimate sacrifice on the cross. And we also know that in this time, many are trying to confuse people with many ways to heaven. We even have it in the Christian church and the apostate and those that are false teachers, because Jesus said it himself. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that we stop and end there. And if you call yourself a Christian, then you want everyone to know that. And that's part of our evangelism. I mean, you were created for a ministry, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. You don't get to hire a minister. That's something I think that too many people think. I give to the church so they can pay the preacher and he'll go out and do all these things. But if you want your church to grow, it'll only grow. I don't care if you bring Billy Graham back from the dead and put him at the pulpit. Yeah, you might have a few people there for a while, but if the church is not the church outside the walls, you will not grow your church.
And I think Promise Keepers established this in my mind 30 plus years ago, that the primary calling of the pastor is to equip the congregation to go into all their world. The pastor and missionary has a special calling, absolutely, but we're all called as we go, wherever we go, to proclaim the good news message of Jesus. And so the pastor's primary role is to divide God's word, to equip us, to bring healthy conviction so that we go do the work of the church.
Amen. Then that is what it's all about. Because we cannot be a church within a building. Mm-hmm. That is not it. And if you hear me speak, I'll say Big C Church. When I'm talking about the Big C Church, that's everyone that calls themselves a Christian. And we have problems within our midst. And they say, you know, they'll say things like, well, it's not that bad. And then I love to give an analogy that I was given a long time ago. It's just like this. I can take the finest flour. I don't know how to bake brownies, so I might mess up the recipe for all those ladies. Yeah. And the best sugar and the best chocolate, and mix it all together, and then walk outside and grab just a little piece of something the dog left out there and drop that little piece in the brownies. And then we'll mix it all up and cook it. Would you eat the brownies knowing that it had it in there? It's just a little piece. And that's exactly what we're trying to do with what is pure and holy and righteous, which is the word of God, when we try to allow people to continue in their sins. Because I said it last Saturday at the meeting. And this is how it went. When Peter was reinstated, he became one of the greatest preachers. He preached one of the greatest sermons at the day of Pentecost. When he was done, the people said what? They said, what must we do to be saved? Mm-hmm. The trouble today is when these preachers, and there's a lot of good ones out there, get done, most congregations are saying, what can I still do and be saved? We're trying to find that way to ride the fence. Well, we know what fence riding looks like because he said that to the church of Laodicea in Revelations. He said, you either be hot or cold. I don't care. You can hate me, love me, but don't believe for a minute that you can stand in the middle, for you are lukewarm and I will spit you out of my mouth. And that's where we can't live. And the trouble is, as Americans especially, we try to do just enough to get by. And God's like, nope, that doesn't work. In fact, people start talking tithes. I love when I get into the discussion of giving at church and tithes. If you come to my church, we don't have plates. We don't pass a bucket. There's a box in the back. God will take care of me and pay for all the bills. That's just how I figure. But they say, well, I give my 10% and I'm tithing and I'm doing my offerings and all this other. And I'm just like, well, then you're serving wrong, because Jesus didn't ask for 10%. He asked for all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So if you're trying to buy something with that money, then you're missing the whole reason you were to tithe in the first place. Because God himself said, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You're not bringing this for the money. You're bringing it to remember and honor me. And we do that. So Easter's coming up. I do want to put a shout out to everybody. Go to church.
And invite someone to
exactly.
come with you.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Invite somebody that you truly would like to see in heaven with you. Because if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, I hate to tell you this, but nowhere in the Bible can I find that you'll be saved. And you say, I worship a loving God that loved me so much, but there is no forgiveness without sacrifice. And we need to realize that he took our place on that cross. That's the punishment we're due when we die and stand before him. But we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We place him in that spot for us. So we don't stand before God. Jesus does. He's one of mine. We can't, any of us, wait till we get to heaven and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I've given you little, but now look at all I give you now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you talked about Lisa being a great cook and all, with especially 10 kids. You got to be able to perfect that pretty well. But you talked about walking into the house and there was that smell of fresh bread. And how can we be, as followers of Jesus, that fragrance of Christ, that positive influence where we work, where we go, the activities we're involved in? Because I want our listeners to recognize and maybe hear from you. So on two things, how we can be that fresh bread, that fragrance of Christ, but also help them understand God's love, because it's true. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. And I think when they understand that God loves and cares for them, then they're motivated to live righteously or to be that fragrance of Christ to others, recognizing that we're all fallen. We all need a Savior. And so generally, we can't really be judgmental because we know how much God has forgiven us. So we need to be a little more tolerant to people that aren't where we're at with the Lord yet. So I don't know, wrap that into something.
I truly believe that the Christianese, we were just talking about this, is the language of Christians. And when people hear righteousness, hear holiness, they hear these words that we understand, they don't understand. And so I will do it this way. See, God didn't make it complicated, because simple people like me need to be able to take that and share it. So what he's saying basically is, and what Mark was kind of quoting, is that I want you to try. See, you can't be like my kids when I send them to the room and say, hey, go get your shoes. They go in there, they turn around, they come back, I can't find them. And then we ask them, what? Did you move anything? Did you even try? And I think if you truly look at it, God does not require anything of you besides faith, because we're saved by our faith. And our faith is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And in that, all you need to do is try. You can't obtain it without him, and you will not attain it until you get to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But here on earth, he wants you to be a reflection of him. He wants you to be a light in a world of darkness. He wants you to live a life where people can no longer deny that there is a God, that there is a creator.
Because they see that hope or that change or that transformation in you?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we see suicide is something that should never happen if people have hope. And the trouble is that the devil works in just all kinds of ways to bring people down. Depression is from the devil, comes from him. And if you're dealing with that, what does that mean? That means that you are valuable enough that the devil's willing to put that on you. And so you need to just humble yourself and pray. It's one of the things that with prayer that we don't always say, you know, men are the worst. Mm. We are the worst about humility and doing it, because we can do it. We can fix it. We can do it. And if we'll just humble ourselves, God says, I will come in. He says, I stand at the door and knock. This is also in Revelation. I stand at the door and knock. Whoever lets me in, I will be their friend. I'll come in. I'll eat with you. Now, in Jewish culture, this means different than it does today. Somebody comes in and eats with you. In Jewish culture, it's basically family-like. So I'll be your family. You'll be my family. And we will be one. And that is what we're looking for, because only then will you truly understand patience and all the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Self-control. These things that cause you to make bad mistakes. Here's the problem, though. Churches, and I'm talking to you guys that have been going your entire life, you cannot look past your problems and give yourself grace and mercy for the things you've done, and look at other people and not cast that same grace and mercy. And Jesus himself said, hey, I'll judge you the way you judge other people. How's that sound? And he puts it back on you that you need to look how you look at other people. Everyone is created in the image of God, and everyone is valuable. And I don't care what they've done to themselves. I, at one time, had hair to my waist, okay? I was placed in different places in restaurants and wasn't allowed to be in the... And, you know, I understand it, and I, you know, now that I'm older. But there's other people that have put, you know, markings on their body, tattoos. I don't say that that condemns you. But a lot of people that do it will later say, you know, that wasn't probably a good idea to put this on myself because it's permanent. But what I'm saying is those people are no different than you. And everybody makes bad decisions.
And for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So it's hard for us to be judgmental. And I love that verse, for those who have been forgiven much, love much. And you might not have killed somebody, or you might not have been a drug dealer or addict or whatever, acted out in certain ways. But can you say your mind has always been pure and above reproach? Can you say you've never stolen anything from work, or you haven't compromised or in some way gossiped or told lies? And so, listening friend, all of us have fallen far short of the perfect example, Jesus Christ, the sinless Savior, God Emmanuel with us. God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, all of us, Christ died for us. It's because of what he did that we can have a relationship with him, and that we have eternity ahead of us, not because we can earn it, because we go to church, because we tithe, or we're good people, or we're better than those bad people. None of us can earn our way into heaven. It's the free gift as we accept in faith that Jesus is our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
So maybe, Pastor Mike, in our closing minute, how about praying for those maybe struggling with their identity today? You talked about that. When we're followers of Jesus, our identity is in Christ, and God looks at us as his beloved children.
Right.
To the senior saint that's going to finish well, that's getting excited about today's program because they're thinking about who they're going to be praying for to invite to come to church. And so that continuum of listeners today, those far from Christ that don't understand God's love, to the saint that loves God very much.
Yes. Father God, we just ask and just reach out across this radio as it's in their cars or in their homes. Father God, we just ask that you just open their eyes to the needs that you have provided for them. Now, people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. Those needs are in front of us. There's that person we know we need to invite to church. There's that person we need to go pick up and take them with us to church. And there are those that we need to pray for and truly pray for their salvation, that they can come to Christ in a way that they will then spend eternity in heaven. And Father God, if there's anyone that doubts, remember that there were many who doubted. You're not the first and you won't be the last. But I know this much, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we celebrate that on Easter because guess what? As Christians, we do not go to the tomb of our Savior. There is not one. And we are the living proof, for we are inspired by the Holy Spirit and we are the temple. And Father God, just bless all who hear this, that we will fill the churches with people hungry for the truth. And that only comes through Jesus. We love you, Lord. Thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen and amen. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to listen to it again, or maybe you're thinking of a friend that you want to invite to church that needs to hear today's discussion or today's sharing, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org, and they can listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. With me in the studio is Pastor Mike Smith, who I appreciate and love, and he's a great follower of Jesus, and I love his passion for preaching God's word. Also, if at the very beginning of the program, still with us is Steve Edge, a potential new volunteer who's like in training and candidating to see if there's a good fit for him to share some of his gift sets with the radio ministry. So we appreciate him joining me today and being here at our WLUJ studios in Springfield. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Mike Smith, and Steve Edge with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.